Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. And today's episode is sponsored by Karen Hall. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining me on Buy Me a Coffee. I really do appreciate your support. It's just lovely. Thanks. So I've got a question that was sent to me in a long time ago, a long, long, embarrassingly long time ago. I've been having all sorts of problems with my email. That's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. And I've just had to do a fix. I hate tech. I've just had to do a fix. And now I've got emails from January that I haven't replied to. So I'm very, very sorry. Now, Ina has sent a message in saying, when you say you work with spirit, you use your own voice. So how do you know you are not just talking to yourself and making it all up? Do you just say out loud, hi, XYZ, I need help with XYZ, and then you answer yourself, or what? Right, well, good question, actually, and it made me laugh because it's so true. It's so difficult. And I'd love to be able to tell all of you listening that I know for sure when it's spirit and I know for sure when it's me, but I don't. One of the things I can tell you is that spirit are never unkind. So I know that if it's me being unkind to me and telling myself that I can't do the things I want to do, etc., 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 that is always me. But it is a problem, and that is why there is always a limit in development to how much I believe that you can do on your own. So when we start, for example, if you, people who are doing my Starting with Spirit online pre-recorded course, that's all about solo work. It's all about getting that foundation in and that connection in. And one of the biggest problems with that is that you are having to work in trust. But I think it's really important. I think it's important to have developed those skills alone before you try and develop them with somebody else. Because as soon as you start working with somebody else, you have to deal with their energy, their expectation, their ideas. And one of the things that I think is really important to say at this point is, personally, I don't think there is anybody harder to read for in the entire universe than another developing medium. Especially some of the ones that like to tell you what you are, receiving for you, rather than letting you work it out. And sometimes, because they're so definitive in what they think that you're going to be talking about, they never give you the space to truly work it out. For example, at college last week, I had somebody I was doing a connection with and I could see a photo. And rather than let that image build in my mind and see where it took me, she said, well, I can tell you it's a no to that photo because I know in the photo you're talking about, you're just seeing him on his own and there's no photos of him on his own. There's only group photos. But I was still building that energy and building that experience, and I didn't need to be cut off from it. And it was at that point I decided to just sit there and let it all wash over me. But that's kind of the problem you get with developing mediums, is they start telling you what they think it is rather than just receiving it. And that can sometimes be challenging. Anyway, I digress. There's a surprise. But one of the things that is always, interesting is how you jump that gap between working intuitively and feeling the presence of spirit on your own. And what I want to say first of all is, if it's kind and it's empowering and it's helpful, does it matter if it's coming from you or coming from spirit? I have no doubt when I first started working with spirit, it was 97% me, 3% spirit. But that was enough to change my life. And that was enough to open me up to making better choices, dealing with the crap I was trying to avoid, being kinder to myself, and all of the inner work. And you guys know this, I've said it once, I'll say it 100 times. Journey outward to spirit? No. Journey inward to self, yes, that's always how it works. We think it's going to be a lovely floaty technicolor rainbow cloud of pure unconditional love, and it is, but what you realize when you try and receive that energy is that you are a solid lump of concrete full of anxiety and self-doubt, and you need to process that. So that is the journey for all of us. I've never met anyone who it hasn't been the journey for. And that's okay. So at the beginning, when you're asking for guidance and advice, when the voice is answering you, of course, some of that will be you. And as we've talked about on the valves filter, you are filtered. You can only receive what you allow yourself to receive. You can only receive what you have experienced, what you understand. And so, although it is your own voice in your own head, the spirit world will... You see, they don't have language, do they? They don't have voice boxes. They don't communicate, come in and go, hello, because they can't. So it will always be whether you receive it in pictures or feelings or just knowing or words of a voice in your own head. It still can be misinterpreted, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. So for developing the journey at the beginning, it's always really hard. And you could say, well, I feel like I'm making that up. I used to feel like that too. And I'm not going to tell you that I never make stuff up now. Because of course I do. Of course you do. Sometimes when I'm demonstrating or working with someone in a one-on-one, I will go blah, blah, blah. And they will go, absolutely not. And I'll turn back to the spirit and I'll say, what have I done? And they'll go, yeah, you just made that up. And I'll go, I've made that up, sorry. And then sometimes you'll say blah, 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 and the person will go, absolutely not. And you'll turn back to the spirit and they'll go, no, that was right, carry on. So you have to be open to that. So it's again about not expecting too much of yourself, especially at the beginning when you're developing, just enough to have that experience. And it's about building it. Now, one of the things that I think is important to understand when you're working with spirit guides and you want advice and information, if you ask them a question, they won't always just drop the answer as knowledge bomb into your head immediately in the form of words. Sometimes they do. Sometimes you will need to process it. You will need to think about it. They will find a way of giving you an experience in the physical world that answers that question for you. So it's not always as conversational. I do think we should aim to be conversational in our connection with spirit guides. But then in that sort of day-to-day connecting, if you're not pressing it and you're not expecting it to be bigger or stronger or harder, it can become a very lovely friendship. That's how I feel about spirit guides. A very lovely, open and relaxing friendship. But sometimes when I need advice or guidance or inspiration, I have to sort of make that request and then allow that answer to unfold in my life. And the perfect example for this, Ina, is when I was asking about clearing trapped spirits from the earth and demons and attachments, and all I did was go, well, why do you need me then? What's that about? And then I mean, 2 years of experiences, 2 years of conversations with people in unexpected places, 2 years of videos playing on Facebook that I hadn't clicked play on that would teach me. Just they will get that information to you. And sometimes you have to be built, the answer has to be built in. Sometimes they'll start giving you the answer before you've asked the question. Like what happened with me. Suddenly I was doing these clearances and then I was thinking, well, why do I need to call the angels in? I have no doubt that that was spirit just sowing a seed with me so that I would start asking and unfolding it. But I also know that in that moment, I was so indoctrinated in the teaching I'd had previously that I therefore could not open up to the answer. I had to go on a journey. If you were to ask your spirit guides today, what your potential is, what the end point of your potential is. The problem with questions like that is, number one, if we know where we're supposed to go, we forget that it's a journey. We forget to experience it in its fullness. But also, we might not be ready to know where it's going to take us. So when lockdown was coming and we could all feel a change in the energy, we could all feel something was afoot. I've talked about that before, I won't bore you with it again, but we could feel it. That when people bounce me on my page going, "Ha, why didn't you know COVID was coming? Ha," like they're so clever and funny. Oh, hilarity. We did know something was coming. Now, I felt that there was a big stream of potential coming in with me at that time also. And then when COVID hit, I thought, oh, good God, this is awful. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. Completely misread the energy there. I knew it was something big. I thought it was something big for me. And the answer is that it was both, because it was the lockdown that got me the followers on my page. It was the lockdown that got me out there. It's the lockdown that sharpened my tools. It was the lockdown that got me to write 2 online courses and record them and do them. It was the lockdown that got me in front of people. And that was a mutual thing, because it got me out there and seen, but it also gave people, I've had people message me and tell me that I helped them survive that time when they were very desperate. So that's really lovely. So that's all great and marvelous. My point being, if Spirit had said, we are going to take your Facebook page from 3,000 followers to 27,000 followers, I would have freaked out. I wouldn't have been able to do it. So when I was getting that anticipatory, things are going to change, tend to yourself. It's a bit like nesting. You sort of clear out all your crap in your house and you try and eat a little bit healthier, you know, some cucumber on the side of your Nutella, and you make some shifts and changes. That's what I was doing. And then lockdown hit and it seemed really weird, because then we had loads of time to do stuff like that. But actually over lockdown, I worked harder than I've ever worked in my life. So there was lots going on. Does that answer your question? Have I just gone down a crazy rabbit hole of blather? Nobody knows. But that's what I feel. I feel that when we're working with Spirit, it is really difficult and it is about trust. And it's been one of the most enlightening things to me, that when you want to do evidential mediumship, it's just there. Your loved ones are just there. I don't need to lasso them in from heaven and pull them in begrudgingly to give evidence and information. They're just there. And it's not a big presence. It's not a change in atmosphere. It's not a huge, heavy, tangible energy. It's just there. They're just there. And that is a blessing and equally a curse, because when you're developing, it feels like it could be just you. And indeed, it may well be. And that is why there reaches a point in everybody's development where they have to join a group. And they have to find like-minded people to practice on. Because if I tell myself that I feel like things are changing and that there's potential there for me and there's energy shifts and I'm breaking through some barriers and it's a whole new playing field for me, there is of course a part of me that says, well, that's only because that's what you want, and that's only because that's what you feel following this week anyway. So it might just be that you feel that. Whereas if somebody else comes in and says to me, you've been through a big period of change, and there's a real opening here of new energy and it feels very exciting and very vibrant, then I go, oh, ooh, thank you very much. Same as if you're friends with somebody on Facebook and you see them looking at houses and sharing house details, and then you do a reading for them and you feel like a house moves on the cards. it feels like you're cheating, but it doesn't mean that you're wrong. And I always advise pupils not to become friends for that reason, because we share so much information on Facebook. And at the beginning, it's very, very hard when you want to be, you want your own abilities to be proved to you as well as the spirit world proved to somebody else. It's very, very hard in that space to say things when you already know things about people. It's fine once you're confident. I mean, I'm working in a space at the moment where people who are booking in for readings for loved ones with me, I'm asking them who they want to hear from, because I'm confident enough in my connection that I will get them enough evidence. And it means that we don't have to mess around getting things. Although I have to say, yesterday's sitter, bless him, he wanted to hear from his dad, and his overbearing grandmother came in first and had to work with her for a little bit first, but I knew his dad was there and waiting. But yeah, it's about proving it to yourself as well as proving it to other people, and that's why you just can't do it on your own. I will say this, many times in my journey, many times I was advised by people to keep a journal. And I never have, because I'm lazy. But if you are that way inclined, that's another great way of getting validations, because you can connect to spirit, write down the messages and the information that you're getting. And then in 2 months' time, when some of that stuff comes to fruition, you can look back and see that you predicted that, or you saw that, or you saw how it was going to happen. And you can, of course, push yourself to be as evidential with that as you would like. Yeah, don't be afraid to write down names, write down situations, write down dates. Push yourself, because that's the only way you're going to prove to yourself that it's you and not spirit. But it is the ongoing problem of spiritual development that it is so subtle. It could be you, and it kind of gets in the way. And I just want to finish answering this question with a little piece of advice that I always give my students, which is quite ironic now that I've been talking about COVID, but just bear with me. You have to almost view yourself as an infection. You're infectious. And your infection, infectiousness, is you. I know, what? But you are infecting things. And so when you receive information from spirit, the best thing you can do is get it out of yourself as quickly as possible, because the sooner it's out of you, the less chance it has to be infected by you. Does that make sense? So I always imagine it like the spirit world sending an orb in, and that orb is yellow, and that orb comes into your mind. If you blurt it straight out of your mouth, it's only become a little bit mixed in with your blue. If you hold on to it and go, what was that? Is it? Are you? Did you say grandma? Are you grandma? I think you're grandma. Can you show me again if you're grandma? All the time you're holding on to that, you're infecting it with more and more of your blue. And by the time it comes out of your mouth, it might be green. It might even be completely blue. And so that's always the problem. We have to try and get that information. You have to say what you're getting as quickly as you possibly can, because that opens up the energy and it builds the momentum with the spirit world, but it also stops you getting in the way of it. So it is hard, and in a lot of cases, if you went to most people and said, the voices in my head are telling me this, you'd probably be institutionalized. So make sure you choose carefully who you work with and who you practice on. But for all of you, there's a bravery and a vulnerability in working with other people. But there's a limit to how far I believe that you can develop on your own. And that is always the problem. So I hope that helps. I hope that has answered your question from 5 months ago. Ina, you're very welcome. And yeah, and has anyone got any comments? As always, I would love to hear from you. Just email podcast@hannahmedium.co.uk. Thanks, guys.